Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. And we're here just another day that God has kept us. God has blessed us through many dangers, toils, and snares. The songwriter says, I have already come. I find in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's good to be here on another session of Truth Ministry over the medium of Blog Talk Radio. We thank God for, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the Apostle Paul instructed his son Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we know the truth is in Jesus. So it's good to be here just another time. So we thank God for all of our listeners on Blog Talk, of course, the friends and followers of Blog Talk Radio, also our Twitter followers and friends, our LinkedIn shuns followers and friends, and also our Facebook followers and friends. We thank God for you that we're able to get into the perfect law of liberty. We're able to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me, that saith the Lord Jesus himself. St. John 5 and verse 39. So it's good to be here. So we thank God for especially all of our new listeners and followers. Thank God for you that were able to be here on another week and get into the word of the Lord. And so here we are. November will be over pretty soon in 10 more days. So thank God that we're here. So I just thank God here at this particular time is my birthday. So I really thank God that I'm able to be here. So God has blessed me to see 61 years of age. So I'm truly thankful for that, because I can think back people, some that we went to school with, didn't even make it to a little over 20, maybe. Some didn't even make it to that. Some definitely didn't make it to 40. So we're still here by the grace of God. So I thank God for that. Most of all, that thank God for the salvation of God that I'm here. The Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I can say I'm not consumed because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lamentations of Jeremiah. So it's good to be here. So we thank God. So we've been continuing in the book of Hebrews, and we've been talking about faith. We talked about a lot of things about God. He could swear by no greater. He swear by himself, which means he swear alone. So he's talking about faith, talking about the heroes of faith, talked about Melchizedek, talked about the high priest, talked about the office of sonship, talked about the body that he prepared himself, that Jesus is eternal, but the Son isn't. So knowing the eternal spirit, which was in the body called the Son of God, is Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ. So he is the self-existing one. He is the eternal God. So that's why he said in the book of the Revelation, I, Jesus, send my angel to testify these things. In the last 22nd chapter of the book of the Revelation, surely I come quickly. I'm the root and offspring of David. Spirit say, come, let everyone that is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. So thank God that you got to know that there is one. Like the songwriter said, oh, yes, there is one. Blessed, blessed Jesus, he's the one. When you need someone to help you, he is the one. So we go back way in the beginning. So what a book. Starting off, God, in the first chapter of Hebrews, the first word, comma, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, the writer says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So knowing the sonship is the office that the Lord is working through now. So he is the priest that ever liveth to make intercession for us. So we don't know how to pray as we ought in the 8th chapter of Romans, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So he is our sanctifier. He is our inspiration. He is our utterance. He is our unction. He is our intercessor. So he is, like somebody said, he's praying for us. No, he's praying through us. We don't know what to pray for. We are as we ought, but he makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. So he's praying through us. He's just looking for a yielded vessel to intercede in or to pray through. Thank God for getting understanding of that. So we thank God for all of you that are tuned in on this evening, and also all of you that will be listening on demand. If you're not going to be listening on today, November 20th, you can listen on demand later on in this week. So our guest call-in number, should you desire to call in, have a question or a comment, you're welcome. Our number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So we trust that hopefully that our listeners are safe. With some bad storms that went around the region on this past Sunday evening and Sunday night, to late Sunday afternoon and evening, and so. I know one of my LinkedIn connections and friends lived in St. Louis. I checked on her to see that she was okay. So it's good to be thought of. So we have friends all over the world, and relatives, all of us. We have friends and relatives, so thank God that you're safe. Thank God for it. The Bible says that the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And that's Proverbs 21 and 31. That latter part, safety is of the Lord. So thank God that he has kept us. He brought us all the way. He's carried our burdens every day. So on last week, we were in, we had just went into the 12th chapter of the book of the Hebrews, and wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So in the 11th chapter, this is what this is giving reference to. In the 11th chapter is what they call the hero of faith. And so start off talking about faith and talking about various ones that made it through and their plight, what they had to go through as far as Abel, what happened to him, and Enoch, how he was translated. And you got to have faith, and so you can't please God without faith, the writer says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he is the author and finisher of our faith in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, as we have started off today. So we're just kind of recapping, going back. So we see here back in the 11th chapter about Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So you understand, when you go back in the book of the Genesis, the beginning, it had never rained, but there came up a mist out of the ground and watered the face of the whole earth. Had never rained, they thought Noah was out of his mind when God instructed him to build this contraption called a boat, called a ship, called an ark, whatever you want to call it, made out of gopher wood. So he's able to put the animals in there that needed to be in there, and also his family. Peter said, talking about Noah, saved, he was saved by water. The like figure doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience toward God, who is gone into heaven, you know, clear conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is going into heaven, angels and authorities, being made subject unto him. So he was saved. That water lifted up that boat, and he judged the world. Everyone that wasn't in there died. They didn't believe it. They died. So, and Abraham was called to go out to a place not knowing where he went. And so he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so even him and his wife Sarai, who was named, her name was changed to Sarah. His name was Abram. His name was changed to Abraham. She conceived seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, mind you, Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Sarah also laughed, too, inside. And that's why the Lord said, you laughed. She said, I didn't. But see, you got to know what Peter said to Jesus. Lord, thou knowest all things. After his resurrection, after in the 20th and 21st chapter of St. John, when Jesus had asked them, they had went fishing, and he asked them, did they have any meat? Cast your net on the right side of the boat. And they got so many fish, they couldn't even get them in. And so anyway, Jesus said to them, come and dine. He didn't go to the store and get the coals or none of that. He cooked for them. Told Peter to feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Lovest thou me more than these? In other words, than the fishes and your occupation that you were doing, that I called you from, that you went back to after my resurrection. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Peter was grieved after he said to him the third time. He said to the Lord, Lord, thou knowest all things. And yes, he is the omniscient God. He is all-knowing. He's omnipresent, means he's everywhere and every place. And he's omnipotent, means he has all power. So we got to know who he is. And that is why our theme that we have been using for 9 months or so, called the Godhead. He is the God who is the head of all things. So you go to heaven, you're not going to see no Trinity, as they say. You ain't going to see three and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's just biblical terminology. That don't even make sense. Like God's going to have his hand open and Jesus standing on it. No, that is talking about the right hand of power, the place of favor. Those biblical terms have meaning, and that's why Jews, they know it's only one God. They just didn't want to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. But they're going to look on him. Zechariah 12 and 10, the latter clause, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Zechariah 12 and 10, you'll see it in the Old Testament. So they're going to look on him. They're going to wail. And as one for his only son, they're going to be bitter in wailing and tears. They're going to realize that they pierced him. They're going to look upon me, he said, whom they have pierced. So they know, they're going to know that he is the one that they crucified. So we go on here. So anyway, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them far off and persuaded them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have return. The Hebrew writer goes on to say, but now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So then he goes on here also, just a recap. Abraham offered up Isaac, received him, offered up Isaac. In other words, he was tested. And that he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Talking about Isaac, he was the one that it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So in other words, he put his hand back to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord, which was the Lord himself, called out of heaven, Abraham, Abraham, don't slay him. Now I know you love me. And it was a ram in the thicket. He offered the ram up for a burnt offering. So he said, his son Isaac asked him, where was the sacrifice? So he said, my son, God shall provide himself a sacrifice. So that was a double reference prophecy. So in other words, God provided the sacrifice at that particular time, which was the ram in the thicket in the stead of Isaac. And also, he was the sacrificial lamb himself. That's why John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's when he said, the next day John seeth Jesus coming. And St. John, first and second chapter. First chapter, I believe, he says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So he was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. You can read in the book of the Revelation. So he's carrying lambs in his bosom now, but when he comes back, he's coming back as the ferocious lion of the tribe of Judah. He's going to fight. This is why Jude said in the book of Jude, talking about Enoch, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. So truly, the cup of iniquity is almost full. So he said, as it was in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. It's going to be the same way in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The days of Lot, they planted, they sowed, they built. These things they'd done, they knew it not, you know, when he destroyed them. So like a snare shall it come on them on the face of the earth. The 22nd chapter of Luke, Matthew the 24th chapter, Mark the 13th chapter, talks about the signs of the coming of the Lord. And I believe today I saw on the news, I think Illinois was the 16th state in the United States that has passed the bill or the law for same-sex marriage. So you tell me that the Bible is not fulfilling itself, because it matters not about what law man passes. But as far as God is concerned, God created male and female. He created the man. He made the woman for the man. He established marriage. Two saith he shall be one flesh, the sex act between the man and the woman makes them one. The consummation of the husband, the marriage, the husband and the wife, which two saith he shall be one flesh. This cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they twain shall be one flesh. So what makes the man, the husband and the wife, one is the sex act. So you cannot, that is unlawful. You can't marry the same gender. And I don't care. It doesn't matter. God is not playing. He's not changing his mind. He's not intimidated by man going off in left field with the laws that they're passing. You cannot marry the same gender. And like I said, even at my age, and I remember, like you couldn't, it's 30 or 40 years ago, you would have said that to a lawyer. You wanted to marry someone, two women wanted to marry each other, or two men, they would have told you that was illegal procedure. But nowadays, they're calling what's right wrong and calling what's wrong right. So we can see God's word being fulfilled. So God had Abraham to intercede in the 19th chapter of Genesis, in the 18th chapter. Those three men went, they had to carry about the business of seeing about Sodom and Gomorrah, and the one man who was the Lord stayed behind. He began to intercede. Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked?" So you go back even further. I believe Genesis 13:13 said the men of Sodom were wicked sinners exceedingly. So in other words, they were horrible way back then. So we can see, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So it's violence in the land. There's so much going on. And Jesus made the statement, remember Lot's wife. So Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. That is, when they couldn't do nothing until they got Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah. So that Peter even gives reference, says that, talking about that just man troubled himself, you know, with the filthy conversation of the wicked. So in seeing and hearing, so the things that they were doing. So he got that righteous man out of there and his family. And so his wife became a pillar of salt. So his wife is a representation of unbelief. She looked back. So the same way it is now. The Lord's going to come out of his place and punish the inhabitants of the earth. But he can't do it until he takes the church out of the earth. And it matters not who don't believe it. That's why Apostle Paul said, we shall be changed. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. So he's going to do it, just like he said that he would. So it matters not. Even some believers don't believe it's going to happen. You can't understand everything God's going to do, but he's going to do it. Just like he raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, no one, Mary and Martha, they knew whatever he asked of God, God shall give it him, because they knew that he was the master. So he called Lazarus from the dead, rigor mortis, and everybody else. 4 days he had been dead. They said, by this time he stinketh. But he told Mary and Martha specifically, if thou wouldest believest, thou shouldest see the glory of God, not the glory of Jesus. So he was the master, standing on the earth, telling her. So he prayed that prayer. I thank you that you heard me. I know you hear all me always. But I said it because of these people that are standing by. When he had said that, then he wept also. He thus had spoken. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Jesus said to the people that were standing by, loose him and let him go. Oh, yeah, he's the master. He's the resurrection and the life. Like he said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So it behooves us to believe God. Like I said, it's not gonna be funny. Ain't nobody gonna be laughing. They're gonna wish to God they took heed to his word, because he's not playing with me and he's not playing with no one else. So sometimes people, we are just the mouthpieces. We are just the instruments. Even Apostle Paul said, who am I? I'm just a minister by whom ye believe. Because they were talking about baptizing and everything. So he was just talking about who he baptized, and he know not of none of the other ones. So he said, he didn't send me to baptize, but he sent me to preach. So in other words, that's not condemning baptism. Someone else can do the baptizing. Jesus is not talking out of two sides of his mouth. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You got to be baptized. It is imperative. It is essential to be baptized. Everyone who believed in the book of Acts were baptized. So that's even Saul said, wash away your sins. How are you going to do that? Calling on the name of the Lord. So he arose and was baptized. So everyone was, even the master himself, our example. So we're going on here, kind of a little recapping from last week to bring us in today on our lesson on faith. And you know you can't exhaust the word of the Lord. So even Moses, they saw that he was a proper child. And he didn't fear the wrath of the king, even when he became a grown man. So by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured seeing, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured seeing him who is invisible. So in other words, talking about God. He Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest that he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do were drowned. Remember I said that, how stupid was that? With all capital letters, really, to go down in there in that water that God had sent that east wind and had walls on both sides and the children of Israel walked through on dry ground. Think that was going to stay open like that all the ways they got through there? No, it wasn't going to stay like that. But they were foolish enough to go down in there, and God let it come back together, and he drowned them all. So the walls of Jericho fell. The harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with priests with peace. So he goes on here. People were sawn asunder. You know, they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Like we said about Joseph, he commanded them, he told them after that God was going to surely visit them. And he says, carry ye my bones from hence. So the living couldn't leave without the dead couldn't leave without the living. The same way it is in the catching away of the bride of Christ. So Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So it's going to happen. It matters not. Somebody trying to be scientific, I saw today, trying to act like it couldn't happen. But God does what he will. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen. Like they said, a moment is faster than you can blink your eyes. He is a mighty God. He does what he will. He swear by no greater. He swear by himself. If he said it, he would do it. Like the Hebrew writer said, it was impossible for God to lie that we might have a strong consolation. So he can't lie. So, and Titus said, God which cannot lie. So it matters not who don't believe it. So he might as well get on board and believe it. So he goes on here, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So he goes on, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So it's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So he took some horrible stuff. Oh, yes, he did. He was mocked. He was stripped naked. He was beat all night. He carried his cross. I mean, they'd spit on him. I mean, not just little kid bubble white spit, but I believe a rotten tooth, nasty, abscess teeth, bleeding gums, folks with coal and all kinds of stuff. You better believe the devil know how to do it. It was nasty that what they did to Jesus. So he goes on here, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Have you forgotten the exhortation was speaking unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither faint when thou art rebuked of him. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastising, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? We got tore up when we were little. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live. A question. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening is for the present seemeth to be joyous. Nobody enjoy getting a whipping, is what he's saying, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. For one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. See, that's another thing. You can't just repent. God has to give you repentance. So even like he talked about the woman, the prophetess Jezebel, says she found no place of repentance, though she sought it. He talks about him, Esau. He couldn't find it. But Jezebel, I gave her space to repent, and she repented not. It's in the book of the Revelation. So he gave her space, but she didn't repent. So he goes on here, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and the burn with fire, nor unto blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the world should not be spoken to them any more, the word rather, for they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now we know Moses was the mightiest man that ever lived. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to a general assembly and churches of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And remember, if you've been listening, the key word in the book of Hebrews is that one word, better. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refuse him that speaketh, him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. This word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And then he tops it off, caps it off in this last verse in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, for our God is a consuming fire. That's exactly what he's going to do. Peter said, the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. He said he's not going to, he made that covenant of the rainbow that he's never going to destroy the earth by water anymore. And so you ever see rainbows? They are pretty. And that is a sign of the covenant that he made, that he's never going to destroy the earth anymore by rain or by water. Never going to do that again. So our God is consuming fire. So he's going to burn it up. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So see, this is a folly of that one group of people that call themselves the Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, how ridiculous. I mean, you can't just run off like the old people say with the cow by its tail. That makes no sense, because the 144,000 are the 12 tribes of Israel. That's the remnant that is left. And so out of each tribe, and it gives the name, so it's 144,000. So if that's the 144,000 are the so-called, they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, and it's, I don't know how many million of them, then that means if only according to their logic, sure, you how foolish it is with the logic that they come up with. So if they are the 144,000 and there's 2 million of them plus, however many it is, that means the rest of them are crazy, because there's only 144,000 going to be saved. You see how ridiculous that is? John said he saw a number, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. He went on to say, I saw a number that no man can count. So the earthly heavenly seed is like the stars, and the heavenly seed, the earthly seed is like the sand, which is by the seashore, innumerable. So in other words, you can't. We as human beings, we can't count the heavenly. We can't count the earthly. Only God knows that number. Just like the writer in Psalm says, talking about God, he telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them by all by their names. So we don't know. God knows everything. So some things are just foolishness for a man to try to figure out. So we go on into the 13th chapter. Let brotherly love continue. So he goes on, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So you don't know. God can do things. He is working through humans, and you don't know who someone is. So that's why you want to treat people right and as best you can, because you don't know who they are. I'm not talking about letting somebody make a fool out of you or somebody trying to attack you or whatever, but you don't know. So God is not going to hurt people. It's like I just read. We are we are the church of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, into an innumerable company of angels. So we're compassed about with innumerable company of angels. And so that's why I'm not scared that when I get in my car and drive and ask God to send legions of angels and camp about, protect us, no accidents, no breakdowns, no break-ins, no fires, no thefts, no carjackings. No sense in being afraid to pray. Because what goes on is in the spirit world first before it ever manifests itself. Like someone said, one bishop who's going on to be with the Lord, he might have a vision of something, an accident or something, and he tell God to back that up. Don't let it happen. So that's what we can do as children of God. And so it is, like I said, some things are not going to happen and won't happen until God takes his church out of here. And so it doesn't matter who don't believe it. You can't rationalize, well, how is he going to do it? Well, how long it would take? To get everybody out of here, how far Mars is and other planets. God can do what he will. And even someone, you know, he says they're going to see the nail prints in his hands and his feet and his side. And somebody said, where's that body? They don't understand. I mean, he can appear in whatever form he wants to appear in. Not trying to figure out, well, where's the body at? I mean, he's God. He can do what he will. Nobody can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? I remember some years ago when we were younger children of God, my late wife and myself, we used to have Sunday night service back in the 80s. we came home on a Sunday night, and my wife saw the glory of God, the cloud in the house. So she was afraid. She didn't really want to say anything. She did say it at another time, but you know what? I saw it too. The glory of God, the cloud of God in our home, in our first home that we have. So God will show himself. Remember, he's the same. Yes, Jesus Christ the same. Hebrews 13 and 8, we haven't got there yet. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he was a cloud by day to the children of Israel and a pillar of fire by night. So he is the same. So it behooves us to believe him. So he goes on here, remember them that are in bonds, them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. So he goes on here, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So you got to know fornication, which he mentions about in the book of the Revelation, fornicators and unbelievers and all those going to be in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is second death. Fornication is a branch of adultery. And so you don't want to, nobody in their right mind want to be there. So let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now catch this, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So there's a connection. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. I remember those many of our late fathers, because I've been in the church for 37 years. There are those that were my age when I got saved, and older and younger. They're going on now, and we are here. And we're here because of their prayers and because of what they taught us. So he says, considering the end of their conversation, you know, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. That's Hebrews 13 and 8. Remember, I said he was the same. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereby they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin and burned without the camp, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So it's talking about our hope that we have in him. In the 8th chapter of Romans, it said, hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So he said, we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So you got to see through the eyes of faith. So that's why it's so important, the apostolic doctrine, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. You read in the book of Jude that one chapter. So the apostles laid the foundations. They were eyewitnesses. They walked with Jesus. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they died a horrible death. With the exception of John, he was boiling oil, and I don't want to be boiling oil. But he was in the Isle called Patmos for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So he was there. He saw the end. He saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. A new Jerusalem, the city suspended in mid-air, coming down from God out of heaven. What a sight to see. So he goes on here, let us go forth unto him without the camp, bearing the reproach. For here we have no continue in city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, and they must give account. They may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Obey them that have the rule over you. The rule is the word. The word is the rule. So that's why you got to know what the word says. Somebody get talking off, you can get out of there. So God got this all fixed because what Jesus said trumps what everybody says. So they were all with one accord in one place. They had all things in common. So that's why Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, I beseech you that you be speak the same things, be of one mind and of one judgment. You be perfectly joined together. So you're going to be saying what the word of God says. So, and we know what the word of God says. It's in our hearts. It's written. We search the scriptures. We're not going to be fooled. That's how you're not going to be deceived, when you know what the word says. And Peter said on the day of Pentecost, when he preached the first message, he exhorted and he testified, and he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's why you got to know what the word says, because many false prophets, false Christ shall arise and shall deceive many in the last days. So they're hustling people out of their money. A lot of things they're saying, mixing of the faiths. And you got, because the Bible said, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians 4 and 5. I mean, there is, God is not the author of confusion, all this stuff. Everybody, you know, confessing, saying they confess him and all that. I mean, you can't just confess him and you're saved. Or you can't just repeat a sinner's prayer. I saw on TV the other day somebody saying that. I mean, there's no scripture. But when people got saved, the book to get saved in is the Acts of the Apostles. The Gospels told us about Jesus, told us a lot of things about repentance and everything, but salvation is in the Acts of the Apostles. So you got to get in there. That's when people were saved. And the Gospels, even like Luke, he wrote the Acts. They went to the city of Jerusalem. He told them to wait for the promise of the Father, which said, he have heard of me. So he told them to go to the city of Jerusalem and tarry there until they be endued with power from on high. No one got saved until the day of Pentecost. So shouldn't be no confusion like it is. But in 320 A.D., we know that so-called vision that Constantine had, the so-called Trinity and all that, that's foolishness. God is one. And God said, don't call no man father. You got one father, which is in heaven. It's what Jesus said. You got to realize who he was. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, have we done this? Have we done that? And your name, Lord, we've done many wonderful works. He says, I will profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So these people worshiping a man and kissing his ring and all that, that's foolishness. You might as well face it. Oh, yeah, it goes against the grain. That's absurd. He told people not to do that. You're not worshiping no man. You better worship this one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Better be the man who you worship. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So he goes on here about, like I said, you got to obey them that have the rules so they have the word over you. So the next verse, pray for us. We trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. I beseech you rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make ye perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ. To whom be glory forever and ever. Now go back, he said, God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ. So the eternal spirit raised up that body. Remember, the body is the Son of God, which was made of the seed of the woman. The Holy Ghost overshadowed her. So So go on here. He says he's working in you, which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words, knowing that our brother Timothy set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. So he goes on here, salute all them that have the rule over you. So in other words, they have the word. All the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. So that is the conclusion of the book of the Hebrews. And so we thank God for his word. Truly, that is a faith book like no other. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the 14 Pauline epistles, and he also wrote the book of the Hebrews. Some people don't say they didn't know who, they always say the Hebrew writer, but we definitely believe that the Hebrew writer is none other than St. Paul or the Apostle Paul himself. So we thank God for his word on today, and we'll be back. Probably take a break on next Wednesday, is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So we're probably, Lord willing, we will talk to you again on the first Wednesday in December. So we just thank God that we're able to be here. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.